requesting in the House chamber, Legislative Day 162.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. We'd ask our members and our guests to please silence any electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Sasser. We'd ask everyone on the floor, as well as our guests in the gallery, to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Sasser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for this opportunity. As I thought about today what to say, since this is my first time to lead prayer before this esteemed group, I thought about the Old Testament and when Moses gave us the Ten Commandments that tell us what not to do if we want to be in God's good graces. Then I thought about the New Testament, which gives us grace through Jesus Christ. And also in the New Testament, we're given my Lord's Prayer. So you, if you will allow me to paraphrase, I would like to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us grace as we show grace. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for November 25th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for November 25th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Representative Hall, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Rules, calendar, operation of the House committee report. Representative Hall. Senate Bill 473, Enhanced Local Government Transparency, favorable.
Counter for today.
Senate Bill 296, Collaboratory Fisheries Study, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable counter. House Committee Substitute will be countered. That bill will also be counter for today. The clerk will file a resolution and assign a number. Representative Hall, Chairman of the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House, recognized to send forth a additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Justin Hall, Rules, Counter Operations of the House Committee Report. A joint resolution adjourning the 2021 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon convening. Favorable for introduction.
Members, the a lot of conversation. I know folks are glad to be back and glad to see each other after Thanksgiving, but I would ask if we could keep the conversation down so that members can follow what we're doing. Members, what we're about to do, this is the adjournment resolution. The clerk is directed to file a resolution and assign a number. And without objection, introduction of the bills and resolutions, the clerk will read the resolution.
Representative Destin Hall. House Joint Resolution 979, a joint resolution adjourning the 2021 regular session of General Assembly to date certain and limiting matters that may be considered upon reconvening.
Calendar. And Chair directs the bill be added to today's calendar. Representative Brody is recognized to send forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 329. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on Senate Bill 329, a bill to be entitled an act to modify architect licensure and seal, engineer seal and building permit, exemption criteria for certain construction projects. House Committee Substitute favorable 8, 19, 21. House Committee Substitute number 2 favorable 10, 20, 21. Submit the following report. The date the conference approved report, November 29th, 2021. Conference for the Senate, Senator Jarvis, Chair, Senator Edwards. Conference for the House of Representatives, Representative Brody, Chair, Representative Hennig, and Farkas.
Conference report is added to today's calendar.
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, I was just going to ask what the number is, but it'll be on the dashboard.
It'll be up momentarily, and we'll be glad to let folks look at it before it's taken up. We'll add it to the calendar now. Members, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a special guest we have with us today. Our state auditor, Beth Wood, is here with us today. Ms. Wood, if you'd please stand. Thanks for being with us. Please join me in welcoming her with us today. Also on motion of the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Wesley Dezern and Mayor Lee Matney, as well as other friends who are here from the town of Harmony, North Carolina. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you up here in the back. Thanks for being with us today. Gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow representatives, these are friends of mine from Harmony, North Carolina. If you remember, maybe the last session we had, we recognized Harmony Hill Camp Meeting celebrating their 175th anniversary. And we couldn't make the logistics work, so we got them here today, even though we did the resolution the other session. So if you would, I'd just like to remind you of that, and that's why my friends are here. And to see me, of course, and my jacket.
Members, we're about to take up the bills on the calendar. This is going to be the order of business today. We're going to take these four bills up. The Senate's coming in at 4 o'clock. I don't know how long it will take to resolve these bills, but once these are done, we will be going into a recess, more than likely until 5. That's what we're told that we're needed to in order to have the budget tech corrects bill with us, as well as a number of bills that the Senate's going to have. It's the intention of the chair that we dispose of our business today and that we don't have to be back later in the week. Also, I can tell you can see from the matter of fact, let's go ahead and take this up. House Joint Resolution 979. The clerk will read.
Representative Hall, House Joint Resolution 979, a joint resolution adjourning the 2021 regular session of the General Assembly and date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening. The House resolved, the Senate concurred.
Members, before I recognize the rules chair to explain the bill, I thought it might be helpful so that members will know what the a basic outline of the adjournment resolution. This has been agreed to with the Senate. And what this would do was essentially keep us in skeletal session until December 10th of this year, at which time we would adjourn, and then we would come back on December the 30th. We would be out of session for those 20 days to get past the holidays. I will tell you this very clearly. It is the intention of the chair that there would not be any business taken up on December 30th, that if there is business to be taken up, it would be on January the 5th. If, however, there's some kind of circumstance that necessitates that we do act on that date, if we have, say, for example, something back from the courts on redistricting, or if there's something regarding these lawsuits and the body wants to act, we would do it. But I will promise you there would be ample time and notice given to everyone. But it is the intention of the chair that's certainly the week right there after Christmas, and I don't want to see that disrupted. So it would be the intention of the chair that we not deal with anything until January 3rd, once we adjourn on the 10th. And then after today would be the only day of really of business.
And then between now and the 10th would be skeletal sessions. If something happens that necessitates us acting prior to that, there again would be ample notice given to each of the caucuses on that. So just wanted the members to have the background on that. So with that, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think you covered it pretty well, Mr. Speaker. You might make a pretty good rules chair someday. Members, I'm glad to stand for any questions, but don't have anything to add to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Forbin Chairman Hall. You did a great job there. For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I've given Mr. White an amendment. I'd like to debate the amendment.
Okay, looks like the lady has an amendment. Is it on the dashboard?
I just handed it in.
Okay, it's on the dashboard. Ladies recognized to explain the amendment. Oh, actually, the clerk will read the amendment first.
Representative Insko moves to amend the bill on page 1 by inserting the following between lines 30 and 31.
Ladies recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this amendment would add Medicaid expansion as an allowable bill to be considered when we come back in. I think this is very important for us to have a good debate on this issue. This is a real opportunity for us this year to make a difference in the lives of about a million of our constituents across the state. We have many in that group. Many are mentally ill, which is a high priority for me. They have now no access to health care. We now send those people to jail and prison. We now have a prison, a mental health institution inside a prison, because we are not providing services for those people so they can live in the community. We all support our veterans, but many veterans are uninsured, and they would fall into that. Many, about 600,000 of those million people that are uninsured here in North Carolina are our veterans, who have gone abroad to fight for us so we can have a democracy here. And we are not providing health care for them back here in the states now. This would also bring an enormous amount of money into the state. Our state needs the stimulation that this bill would create. The tax dollars from North Carolina are being used to pay for Medicaid expansion in other states, but North Carolina would not have to put any state dollars into our Medicaid expansion, because we would be assessing our other providers who have already agreed to do that. Many North Carolinians, this is not a partisan issue. We have people on both sides of the aisle that support this issue. I would like for us to have a good debate when we come back into session on this issue.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members, I'm going to ask you to oppose the amendment simply because it was prearranged with the Senate. And of course, we were trying to get adjourned today. Also, there were some provisions in the budget about expanding Medicaid, and all of those issues are still going to be eligible in the short session, and we're going to be back here again at the end of the month. So I would ask you to oppose the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose of the lady from Orange Rise?
I speak a second time.
The lady has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is the time to vote on this bill. We need to ensure that we can get it done. And this is the day, this is the time that we can be sure that we will get this bill before us in the future. We've put this off too long. This is the year. This is the time. It's badly needed by many people. It's our responsibility. And we are not meeting our responsibility. Debate the bill. Vote it down if you need to, but debate the bill. And I believe that there are enough people on both sides of the aisle that bill would pass. But let's at least get it debated and vote for that. Vote yes for this amendment right now. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1 set forward by Representative Insko. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Terry on the floor. Representative Hawkins on the floor. Representative Turner, those members here. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 46 having voted in the affirmative and 61 the negative. The amendment fails. We're now back on the resolution. For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin Rice.
To see if the gentleman from Caldwell, the rules chair, would yield to a question.
Sure. Representative Hall, the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the gentleman for yielding to my question. My question regards on page one provision beginning on line 22, bills responding to actions related to litigation challenging the legality of legislative enactments. And my question is, would this also permit consideration of legislation that responded to litigation challenging the failure of the legislature to enact certain provisions?
I think I'll answer that by seeing if the gentleman will yield to a question as well.
Gladly.
Can the gentleman give me an example of how the legislature may have failed to act?
Hypothetically, if there were litigation out there asserting that the General Assembly had failed to adequately fund education pursuant to the mandate in the North Carolina Constitution.
Representative, I believe, you know, according to this provision, any sort of litigation whatsoever that's out there that in any way might relate to any legislative issues, period, could be taken up at that point. So most likely, I think that could be taken up if necessary, as could impeachments as well.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, see if the gentleman would yield to one other question.
Gentleman, yield?
I yield.
He yields.
The next question regards the end of that provision, number five, and containing no other matter. I think I understand what that means, but I just want to clarify. I understand that to mean that legislation that was brought forward in this session that responded to litigation, but also contained provisions that were not necessary to respond to that litigation, would not be in order.
I think generally that's the case. You wouldn't add in some unrelated provision other than those outlined in subsection 4 in that individual bill, in one single bill.
Thank you, sir.
Anything further? Not. Question for the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 979 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Stevens, aye. Representative Logan, wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 99, having voted in the affirmative, 8 in the negative. House Joint Resolution 979 passed the second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
The House resolves and it concurs.
Question for the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 979 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 979, having passed third readings, orders sent to the Senate by a special messenger. And in fact, Mr. Clerk, all chair directs that all messages today be sent by special messenger, whether to the Senate or to the governor. Let's take up Senate Bill 296 real quickly. The clerk will read.
Senators Lee, Sanderson, and Lazara. Senate Bill 296, a bill to entitle an act to make changes to the current Operations Appropriations Act of 2021. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Is Representative Richardson, is this the bill the gentleman was going to handle?
I will.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, has the floor to debate the bill.
Members, somewhere between the third edition of this budget and the fifth edition of this budget, two very important projects got somehow mixed up in the exact amount of allocation. Both were vetted, both went through the committee process, and both passed one version of this House budget in the form that it's meant to be. The correct sums of the monies that are needed to complete these projects are in the bill. I do know that there's also another one in Edgecombe that has the same problem. I'd ask for your support on that. Mr. Speaker, I don't know the other aspects of this bill.
Well, we have those folks to debate. If not, question for the House. Pass of Senate Bill 296 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Hand it, guy. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 101, having voted in the affirmative, 5 of the negative. Senate Bill 296 passed the second reading without objection. Here we are a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 296 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 296, having passed third reading, ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Senate Bill 473, Clerk will read.
Senators Barnes, Sanderson, and Edwards, Senate Bill 473, a bill to entitle Enhanced Local Government Transparency, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Winslow, why don't we take the amendment up? I think that, is that a technical amendment more than anything?
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen's recognized Senate 4th Amendment, APB 39, Clerk will read.
Representative Winslow moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, sir. This amendment makes a few important clarifications to this transparency bill. If a local government has been the subject of an investigative audit with findings by state audit, the amendment empowers local government commission to select three options of CPAs from which a local government may choose for their annual audit. This ensures transparency while still ensuring that local governments retain decision-making power over the process. The amendment also amends the section regarding participating in contracts with a nonprofit that the councilman or commissioner is associated with. The amendment ensures that an honest mistake or honest omission will not be penalized. It also changes the effective date to January 1, 2022 for criminal offenses. The amendment also makes various technical corrections suggested by the state auditor and the state treasurer who are in full support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We're now back on the bill. Representative Winslow is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 473 implements several crucial reforms to ensure transparency in local government. It was developed in close consultation with the state auditor and the state treasurer and has the full support of both. It passed the Senate 42-6 with 14 of our Senate Democrat colleagues voting in favor. Highlights of the bill are follows. If a local government was subject to an investigative report by the state auditor, then the LGC is empowered to select the accountant who will perform the required annual audit of the local government. The LGC is empowered to do this for 3 years following the state auditor's report. If a local government official owes money for county municipal services, then their official compensation from the county municipal will be garnished until the debt is paid in full. This section is not retroactive and is effective when it becomes law. The bill also makes a Class H felony offense if an elected public official solicits or receives personal financial gain by means of intimidation, undue influence, or misuse of the employees of that political subdivision which the elected officer serves. And it's subject to certain exceptions, prohibit public officials from participating in making or administering a contract, including the award of money with a nonprofit with which the public official is associated, and would create a misdemeanor offense for such violations. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would imagine everyone here in this chamber and every citizen in North Carolina would expect that our elected officials be good actors and respectable persons and would do the right thing. Also, I think that we all will agree that when they don't do the right thing, that there should be some sanction, and that sanction should be not only punitive, but should be a deterrent. So for those reasons, I like what's in the bill. However, there is one section that's going to lead me to vote against this bill. That section says that the bill would be retroactive. This section would be retroactive to July 1st, 2018. That's problemsome and problematic to me because in the simplest way that I can explain this, a way that I would understand it, is if the city of Greensboro takes the speed limit on Main Street And Monday says the speed limit is going to drop back from 45 to 35 starting this coming Monday. But they go back and look and see that on July 2nd, 2018, that I actually drove 37 miles per hour and what was 45 miles per hour. They say under the new law, you now will be charged for having speeded on a road that we changed the speed limit on at a later date. How can a law be retroactive? How can we go back to 2018 to something that wasn't a law in 2018 and give sanction in 2021? That to me makes no sense, and that will be the reason I'll vote against this bill. With all due respect to the fine work that our state auditor has done and is doing, that section alone causes me to vote against this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
See if the bill presenter might yield to a question.
Representative Winslow, does the gentleman yield to a question from Representative John?
Yes, sir, I do. Thank
you. He yields, and the gentleman is permitted staff on the floor.
Thank you. Representative Winslow, I'm looking at Section 1B and 1C of the bill. That's the section that Representative Quick just referred to. And I'm trying to grasp whether or not that section would have indeed have the effect that Representative Quick suggested, that at some point in time, conduct which was not criminal under the statutes could retroactively be made criminal as a result of the operation of those two sections. That's my question.
Mr. Speaker. All right. There are already criminal offenses. It's just now this makes it punitive. So even if they were 3 years from today, if they had a criminal offense, it would be effective.
May I ask the gentleman another question?
The gentleman is recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Winslow, in Section 4A of the bill, there is a new offense created regarding the member of a nonprofit organization. What if under Section 1B that conduct was subsequently discovered, and could it then be charged retroactively?
So that would not be a defense. It only applies to the auditing and not that section.
It applies only to what?
Auditing.
Could
the auditing, yes.
Yeah, okay. Could not the audit discover an act by a local elected official who was also an official of a nonprofit that brought him, her into conflict with the newly enacted section of the law?
You would not be able to prosecute in that case.
Because?
You've already used up all your phone a friend things there.
That's right. If you read further down the section, you actually see that section applies December 1st of 2021.
I'm sorry, I'm still having trouble with this.
The section we're discussing?
Section 1B extends for 3 years.
Well, if you look at Section 4B, it says this section becomes effective December 1st, 2021, and applies to offenses committed on or after that date. So we're not talking about retroactively.
Okay. All right. All right. Debate the bill, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Representative Johns recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you. Members, Representative Quick and I have raised these issues for a very simple reason. Section 16 of the North Carolina Constitution provides that retrospective laws punishing acts committed before the existence of such laws and by them only declared criminal are oppressive, unjust, and incompatible with liberty, and therefore no ex post facto law shall be enacted. Whether or not, and I appreciate the candor and the response I got to my questions, whether or not this section 1B and C are not in compliance with the letter of the constitutional provision, it seems to me they sure brush up hard against the spirit of that provision and raise concern, notwithstanding, as Representative Quick indicated, the work of the auditor. I heard the debate in rules, and I understand there's a lot of backstory to this bill. That's not what I'm concerned with. I'm simply concerned with this issue of potential brushing up against a violation of the North Carolina Constitution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Winslow, gentlemen, yield.
If I can phone a friend.
He yields.
You might need to phone a friend early. Okay. When I heard the bill in rules, I understood there was a cap on the population. And I wanted that explanation because I kept hearing that it was a statewide bill. But as the conversation continued on, I understood it was a 15,000 population. So can you tell me if that is still in the bill?
Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to respond.
So that only applies to the nonprofit section. So when we're talking about who does the bill apply to, it applies to all local governments and elected officials at the local level. The 15,000 less only applies to jurisdictions that are involved in nonprofits.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Neal. Yields.
Thank you. So the applicability of this bill, if we cap at the 15,000, I believe it was 400-something municipalities and 100-and-something other counties that would not actually be impacted? Local?
I don't know about the number of jurisdictions it applies to, but it only applies to voting on one section for that nonprofit when you're voting on a budget for a local jurisdiction.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Hill. He is.
Yes.
Thank you. So according to the numbers, it's 60 counties with population of 15,000, correct? 483 municipalities with no greater than 15,000 people. So it's really not a statewide bill if it's not impacting every municipality in every county, correct? Do we need to phone a friend?
Well, I'm not answering.
Was that a question?
So I
yes, it's a question.
Ask that one more time, please. You asked me the numbers. I don't know the numbers specifically, no.
Okay, well, that really doesn't matter.
The reality of it is that if we don't exempt those people specifically in those groups, what's going to happen is that the jurisdictions are so small that it's very difficult for them to be involved in other committees that may be impacted by the budget. So that's why that provision was put in there.
Thank you. I'll speak to the bill.
Lady has floor, debate the bill.
I am very concerned when I see a carve out of local municipalities or even the county commissioners when they are supposed to have independence and set in their local authority in ordinances and other statutes inside. And if we're going to do something for one set of municipalities and one set of counties, and it's supposed to be statewide, everyone should be impacted if it's statewide. Nobody should be carved out from having to be under the microscope to be told what they're supposed to do, and then the repercussions come back determined by an outside entity when we have said that we give them local authority. And now we're going to take it back, and then it's not going to be consistent through the whole state. I ask for you not to support this bill.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Brunswick? Representative Iowa Rice.
To ask the bill handler a question.
Representative Winslow, gentlemen yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
I think I have an easy question for you. The Section 3 deals with apparently nonprofits, I believe, or benefiting from the public position. I've got a hypothetical, and it's probably a yes or no. I'm an officer of a town, mayor or a council member. I'm involved in the real estate business very heavily. I run a real estate company. I purchase a piece of property from the town for my business and pay the market value and also the highest bid that is received. So is this involved, this bill be involved in any of that, or would it be any prohibition against a town officer in a small town being involved in a real estate deal, which may be beneficial, but they paid the market value and the highest bid, and all the procedures were followed? Is that involved in this bill, I guess?
No, sir. That section only applies to nonprofits.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 473 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Hunt wish to vote. Representative Dahl wish to vote. Representative Reeves. Where's Representative Reeves? Reeves, aye. Reeves, oh, Reeves, no. Representative Terry is showing as a non-vote on these. Mr. Minority Leader, you know if she wants to be excused or not. I'm glad to show it, however, if anybody knows.
We'd ask that she be excused. Thank you.
Mr. Court, we're sure we're excused on that as well as the prior votes. Court lock machine recorded the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative, 44 in the negative. Senate Bill 473 passed second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Senator, no client in that.
Representative Smith, I saw the lady's light after I put the questions. The lady wished to debate the bill. For what purpose, lady, rise.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do wish to debate the bill. One of the things that I look at now is this is just another case of where the state has decided to overreach on the local level because the auditor already has the ability to do whatever she needs to do because we have laws on the books. And so I'm very concerned that now we're meddling. You just imagine if someone from the federal level decided to do that to us at the state level and go back 3 years and look at what you guys have been doing and what we have been doing and trying to find issues. So I think we are doing a lot of nitpicking for no reason, because if we have people in positions and we have laws on these books, if this was an issue in 2018, then someone should have introduced this bill in 2018 and done it the way that we are have been doing it traditionally. But to now set this type of precedent, it is not wise, and it does not make sense, and it seems like it's targeting, especially when you look at those smaller municipalities. This looks like spot zoning to me, and this is what we try to make sure that we stay away from and we should not be doing, but that's what we're voting on right now. So I do urge people to vote no for this. Thank you.
Further discussion, debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 473 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
You pin the chair. The ayes have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 473, having passed third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate by special messenger. Representative Hannig is recognized to send forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
Conference report, House Bill 110. The conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on House Bill 110, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the housing opportunities and prevention of eviction program. Senate conferees and insurance committee substitute adopt 83121. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report November 29, 2021. Conferees from the Senate, Senator Edwards, Chair, Senators Raven, Newton, and McInnes. Conference from the House of Representatives, Representative Hannock, Chair, Representative Hollister, and Bowles.
Bill is added to today's calendar. We'll stand at ease momentarily. Message from the Senate, the clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to your message received on October 21st, 2021, at the House of Representatives, failed to concur in the House Bill 110, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the Housing Opportunities and Prevention of Conviction Eviction Program. The President Pro Tem appoints Senator Edwards Chair, Senators Rabin, Newton, and McInnes. On the part of the Senate, to confer with a like committee appointed by the Honorable Rock that the end of the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland.
Noted. Mr. Court members, Chair makes the following adjustments to Conference Committee for House Bill 334. That is the Jobs Grant and Tax Relief Bill. I believe that's going to be used for the technical corrections for the budget. That will be the technical corrections bill. Members, just for so members will know, the staff is still drafting that, and that bill is technical. There are changes in there, but there's no new money, but there were some changes there, but there are things such as renamings and so forth. But that bill is going to take some time to get done. So the chair is going to, Representative Sain's not here today, so Representative Sain is removed as a conferee, and Representatives Arp and Lambeth are added as conferees to that bill. Senate will be so notified. Representative Lambeth will be designated as the chair of that. So we're about at the point to take a recess until 5. We're checking to see what the I'm going to make the call. 5 o'clock is going to be when we're going to come back. Where we are at that point, we should have received a number of bills from the Senate by that time for the House to act on, and the Senate will have received bills from the House. There are two bills remaining on the calendar. The chair is being informed that there's some discussion about 329, and then the chair was asked by the bill sponsor that 110 be delayed until that time. So those are conference reports, so they're not critical in the sense of having to go back to the other chamber. So with that, we'll open it up to some notices and announcements prior to going into our recess. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will caucus immediately upon recess in 1228 right downstairs. Please be prompt.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Davidson, Representative Watford, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
For those responsible for the eyes and nose, I have composed this piece of third grade prose. My moving forward from the darkness to the light resulted in a new seatmate, Representative Donna White. Through the years, a finer neighbor I have never had, even though my previous one was a charming lad. On this commemorative day, November 2/9, we honor this special lady that is so fine. Rise and join me, if you will, as we celebrate her birthday here on Capitol Hill.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor. House will come to order.
Mr. Speaker, it came to my attention today that we're going to be losing one of the finest minds that ever walked the floor of this chamber in here. Young man that I think is one of the most professional, if not the most professional young man, in his both work ethic and his ideals and his philosophy. I understand Dylan Real is going to the private sector. I want to personally tell him thank you. You'll be sorely missed by me and many others in this chamber, and give him a fond and hearty farewell. Absolutely.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
Point of personal privilege, sir.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. I've never anticipated us being here this long, so I've never had to had the opportunity to say this publicly, but today my wife and I have been married 47 years. I love you, baby.
Congratulations. For what purpose, the gentleman from Lenore, Representative Humphrey, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, members. I just want to thank you for all the outpouring of love last week, last 2 weeks after I lost my mother suddenly. She was 75, just a wonderful lady, and I'm going to miss her terribly, but I want to thank you all for your phone calls, your texts, your flowers, your messages, and my family was impressed by the outpouring of support from this body. They were just surprised at how much love we actually do have for one another. So anyway, thank you very much.
Sir, thank you. The lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with a real mix of emotions that I rise today to let this body know that I will be retiring from the legislature effective December 31st of this year. I cannot express to you all, and I'm talking about you all, what this time has meant to me. It has been the honor of my life. And I have learned so much from every single one of you that I've come into contact with. And I have made such friends of people who are here over these last 18 years. And like I've said before when I've stood up on the floor, we are like family. We may not always be the best functioning family, but we are a family. And I am going to really miss the camaraderie, the support, the friendships. And I just want to say, I'm going to be saying my prayers for all of y'all as you head into 2022. I'll be thinking of you. I will be hoping that with this coming election that we find some real balance in North Carolina. And I wish every single one of you the very best in whatever you do going forward, not only for yourselves, but for the people of North Carolina. Thank you so much.
Representative Fisher, I know I speak for all of your colleagues when I thank you for your service and your friendship and what a delight it has been to serve with you. And there aren't as many as been serving quite as long as you and I have here now. So you will be missed, but we appreciate your hard work and we're going to keep working until you leave. So still plenty of work to be done.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Fortunately or not, I won't miss the end of session festivities around contentious Buncombe County bills. Stay tuned. They're coming. Or I say, it's coming. Thank you so much.
It just wouldn't be the holidays without one, right? For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, rise?
Moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Well, with Thanksgiving this past week, we all had a lot to be thankful for. And really, we also had a lot to be thankful for the day after Thanksgiving. Not for the first 58 minutes of the ball game, but for the last two. And I thank you, Lord, for those last 2 minutes. Go Pack.
Some things don't even deserve a response. For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Just rising to wish my mother, Marion Hawkins Green, a happy 65th birthday.
Happy birthday. Representative McNeely, we've asked the Durham County Board of Elections to recount that game.
It's not over then, that's for sure.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
I'd like to remind the gentleman to my left that the best football program in North Carolina resides in the mountains of North Carolina at Appalachian State, and they will be competing for a conference championship this weekend, which they are undefeated in, and they'll also be competing in a bowl game this year, which they're also undefeated in, until the little puppies over there at North Carolina State can match that. We'll agree that North Carolina is, or State is not the the best program. Thank you, sir.
Do the Wake Forest folks have anything to say while we're at this? Just curious. For what purpose, gentlemen from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentlemen has the floor.
I'd just like to welcome Appalachian State to their new facility in Hickory, the new campus that will be built there, and I look forward to becoming a more enthusiastic App State fan.
Members, are there any further notices or announcements? One thing the chair wanted to share while we were talking about schools, if any of you have not visited the new Western School of Science and Math, Representative Blackwell and I had the chance to visit that facility here several times recently, and that is something that I would encourage all of you to look at. If you're heading west to get Christmas trees, or for whatever reason, if you're from this part of the state and you're going that way, really do jump off the interstate and take a look at it. That is something to be very proud of that this General Assembly has passed, and it is just incredible to see what had really been, I guess, a campus falling into disrepair after the closure of the School for the Deaf there at that part, to see that turned around, the new facilities and the opportunities for so many young people in this state that are happening. Of course, we're very fortunate to have the School of Science and Math in Durham County, and then having this one in Burke County as well is something that's going to pay dividends for many, many decades to come. So if you get a chance to get out that way, would encourage you to take a look at it. Certainly something that everyone in this room had a hand in making happen, something we can all be proud of as North Carolinians. For what purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
Of course, you couldn't be more correct, Mr. Speaker. But I was going to add, you can buy your Christmas tree at King's Christmas Tree Lot, which is right there in Morganton, and you can kill two birds with one trip to Morganton.
Well, just so we're not favoring any one company, you can buy Christmas trees anywhere in Western North Carolina, just to be clear. Well, make sure we, but just make sure it's a North Carolina tree. Again, we're going to recess until 5, and we will be coming back to take up some other bills. But before we take that recess, do we have any other notices or announcements? Seeing none, the chair is going to declare that the House stands in recess, subject to the standard stipulations, until 5 p.m. House will come back to order. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House. Clerk will read.
Representative Susan C. Fisher, House District 114, Buncombe County. Dear Mr. Speaker, I hereby resign from 114th seat of the North Carolina House of Representatives, effective December 31st, 2021. It has been an honor of my life to have served the people of District 114 for these last 18 years. I hope that my constituents felt included and less isolated during my tenure as their House member. I have been a strong voice for women, for increasing minimum wage, for labor and better conditions for public education. I have been most proud of the fact that I have been able to be instrumental in changing the laws of North Carolina around health, education, and education in general. This is where my focus has been throughout my career. I will be forever grateful to my constituents for allowing me to serve Buncombe County in the North Carolina House. The rewards for helping others are immeasurable. While the decision to run again has been difficult and in many ways sad, it is comforting to know that there are energetic folks who are ready with their ideas and strong visions to run for election and serve the people. Sincerely, Representative Susan C. Fisher.
Noted. Court members, chair directs that Senate Bill 128, the short title of this is Board of Trustees, Isothermal Community College. Chair directs that be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, calendared, and chair will calendar the bill for today. Representative Lambeth is recognized to send forth the conference report. Corker Reed.
Conference report, House Bill 334. The conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on House Bill 334, a bill to entitlement act to improve grants to North Carolina business affected by the COVID-19 pandemic to provide tax relief to the business and individuals, to update the reference to Internal Revenue Code, and to make various other changes. The Senate Finance Committee substitute adopt 52621. Senate Appropriations Base Budget Committee substitute of about 527-21, 6th edition, and Gross 610-21 submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report, November 29, 2021. Conferees from the Senate, Senator Jackson Chair, Senators Harrington and Heiss. Conferees from the House of Representatives, Representative Lambeth, Chair, Representative Hall, and Arp.
Calendar, and the bill is added to this evening's calendar. Messages from the Senate, the clerk will read.
House Bill 974, first edition, a bill to be entitled Act to make modifications to appointments made in the 2021 Appointments Bill and to appoint persons to various public office upon the recommendation of the Speaker of the House of Representatives and President Pro Tem of the Senate for concurrence in Senate Committee Number 1.
Calendar. Bill's added to this evening's calendar. Court may continue.
House Bill 118, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide a 6th member of the Buncombe County Board of Education to elect eligible voters for the district a member represent in concurrence with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Calendar, and the bill is added to this evening's calendar.
House Bill 400, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th edition, a bill to be entitled an act to change the Asheville City Board of Education for appointed board to a board of elections elected members to increase the members of Asheville City Board of Education from 5 members to 7 members for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2.
Counter. Bill's after this evening's calendar.
House Bill 406, Senate Committee Substitute, 4th edition, a bill to be entitled an act providing a special separation allowance for certain Cleveland, Rutherford, and Moore County law enforcement officers to attain 25 years of service for concurrence in the City Committee Substitute.
Counter. And the bill is also added for this evening's calendar. House Bill 334, the clerk will read.
Concurrence report, House Bill 334, a bill to be entitled Budget Technical Corrections. Gentlemen from North Carolina and Axe.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I make a motion that we accept and approve the conference report, House Bill 334.
The gentleman has moved the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 334, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, colleagues. You know, we had a very good vote here just a few weeks ago, and as with every budget, there are always some technical issues that come up after it becomes more public. No exception with this rather lengthy document. I can tell you that while this technical correction is fairly lengthy, we have made an extra effort to try to limit it to only those things that had to be included. And those things that we felt like had to be included would include things that relate to date issues. For example, you know, our budget should have been passed somewhere back in June, and some of the dates, as we got closer to November, December, are not practical. So we've had to go through and make a number of date corrections or date adjustments that the agencies gave us feedback to make sure that they could, in fact, operate with a budget that was a little bit delayed this year. So there are a number of changes in here that are purely date changes. There are a number of changes that are name or statute corrections. Again, no significant changes. They are simply trying to adjust to a name, a statute, or a spelling error. Again, we tried to limit those to what only had to be done. There is one significant item, and I'll point that out. But I'll also tell you that this is probably not the only technical adjustment we have. We've continued to get some feedback from some of the agencies, so we may have to have a technical adjustment version 2 sometime after we come back in the spring or later this late winter. There is one significant area, and it's really something we all should be very proud of. Section 4-4A, it reflects an appropriation for Project Thunderbird for site and road work at the PTI airport to recruit a manufacturing plant, and that's about all I can say about it. There should be an announcement soon, but this is a very exciting project. There's $106 million that's been added. It's coming off our bottom line, but it should enable us to give a real boost to that area that's had some challenges with manufacturing sites that we've lost to other areas or have closed or overseas. That is really the only new appropriation in this technical corrections bill. There are a number of changes within the SCIF that's just simply primarily name or moving money around. No new money, no new appropriations. And I hope you can appreciate that we made the effort this time to try to minimize anything that might create any sense of new appropriations, because that was the purpose of our budget, and we tried to make sure that we minimize that in this technical corrections. I've asked for staff to be on the floor with me in case there are technical questions that come up on a technical bill, and we're certainly glad to try to answer any of those. Apologize a little bit for the length of it and for the lateness, but there was a lot of feedback from the different agencies as well as individual organizations that receive money from the state asking for some name or date issue that we had felt like right now we had to deal with. And as I said, there could be additional corrections or adjustments later in the session this year. With that, I'm more than happy to try to answer any questions.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question, please.
Representative Lambeth, gentleman yield.
I certainly will.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Lambeth. Thank you for the yeoman's work you and others have done on this. I did have a question. I bet you got the same email I did from the North Carolina Healthcare Association about their concern about the two new hospital taxes totaling $211 million per year. And Let me just ask you that. Did you get that already? Because I don't want to go through this if you already know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I'll go into detail.
As you can imagine, I did get that same question.
Okay, so here's my follow-up then.
Okay.
Thank you. So as I read this, what Cody Hand is saying is that the Medicaid expansion piece that we all agree is a good thing to do, extending Medicaid coverage for mothers after they deliver for that first year. But that he says here that there are federal funds that can be used for this expansion. So that's my first question. And the second is very similar. The home and community-based services, the House budget contained non-recurring funding for this, but there are federal funds available. Can you just speak to why we would choose to have the hospitals who've been through a lot, and we all know and appreciate what they've done through the COVID pandemic. If we have federal funds available, I in my quick review, just having gotten this, I didn't see anything about this in the budget. Can you speak to that, please? Thank you.
I'm glad to. And there probably does need to be some clarification. Hospital finance is very complicated, and I will try to make this as simple as possible. This deals with an assessment. Within the hospital or within the House budget, there were a number of areas that we expanded services. In the Senate budget, they did not quite expand the number of services we did. And when in conference, what we were trying to do was to offer as many of those services as we could. And we did, in fact, fund those services out of the federal money. Fortunately, in North Carolina, we are receiving additional federal money, and those monies that we receive from the feds will fund it as long as we can. We estimate that most of that federal money should carry us through April of 2024. So there's two parts to this, but one part is we believe there is federal money, and the budget that we passed here a couple weeks ago uses that federal money through April of 2024. So a future General Assembly will have to deal with really the question of do we assess an additional tax on hospitals, which they are currently funding a tax or an assessment, or do we cut services back when that federal money goes away? Our third option is the feds may continue to fund it because we don't know what they might do in 2024. So there is no new assessment. There is no new tax today. It is for the future under the assumption that the feds' portion, which they are funding today and will continue to fund for months into the future, what happens when they stop that funding? And the question then becomes, do we eliminate the benefit, do we find a source, or do the assessment that we have at that point fund those continued benefits, or does the feds continue to fund them at a higher rate? All unknowns, quite frankly, here we are in 2021 for something that could happen in 2024. So there's nothing in this technical correction, and there's no assessment that is applicable in the House budget until those federal funds actually run out. But good question, and thank you for that question.
So this is what Chair's going to do. We're going to displace the bill for a few minutes, receive a request from Representative Harrison. Chair's going to grant that. But would ask members who, if they want more time on this, to do it. The Chair's been informed this is primarily technical, but we're going to displace it and come back to it here in just a bit. Would ask members to take this time to look at it and see if there's any questions on anything. Let's go ahead and take up House Bill 978. The clerk will read.
Committee on Rules, Calling, and Operations of the House, House Bill 978. A bill to be entitled, an act to make modifications and appointments made in the 2021 appointment bill and to appoint persons of various public offices upon recommendation of the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, General Assembly of North Carolina, and acts.
Clerk would also read the amendment.
Senator Rabin moves to amend the bill on page lines 3. 7 and 8 by inserting between those lines.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we concur with the Senate's amendment.
Gentleman has moved that the House concur with the Senate amendment to House Bill 978. Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Is the motion to concur with Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 978? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Alexander on the floor. Is he gone for the day? Okay. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 73 having voted in the affirmative, 30 in the negative. The House has concurred in Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 978. The bill is ordered and enrolled. Senate Bill 128, clerk will read.
Senator Heist, Senate Bill 128, a bill to be entitled an act to allow up to 2 members of the Board of Trustees, the Isothermal Community College, to be members of the Board of Community Commissioners and to require trustees to maintain their county residence. General Senator of North Carolina now.
Representative Reeves recognized, send forth amendment AXFR 50. The clerk will read.
Representative Reeves moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a simple amendment that we're just trying to get through for the city of Golston. It's, you know, we're a pretty small town. We've got a chance for a project that's coming in, and the our local board has asked that we be allowed to do an annexation that would allow for the company to come on in and set up shop and get a couple of us hired. So we appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Goodwin wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative, 1 the negative. The amendment's adopted. The adoption of the amendment is a material amendment that changes the bill. Therefore, the bill is back to first reading, and the chair would direct. So this is a 5-day bill. Representative Reeves knows this. We're not going to be here 5 days, but this gets the process moving. So with this having that now constituting the first reading, the bill is ineligible under the Constitution for second reading just yet. Therefore, the chair is going to direct the bill be removed from the calendar, referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations, and we can take this up in January when we come back. House Bill 406, clerk will read.
Representative Hastings, House Bill 406, a bill to be entitled an act providing a special separation allowances for certain Cleveland, Rutherford, and Moore County law enforcement officers to attain 25 years of service. General Senator of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings is recognized for motion.
Move that we do concur, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has moved that the House concur. That the House concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 406. Further discussion, further debate. If not, question for the House is that adoption. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House having concurred with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 406, bill is ordered enrolled. Senate Bill 329, the clerk will read.
Congress report, Senate Bill 329, a bill to be entitled Building Permits Exemption Timeshare FD. General Senator McClain.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, recognized for motion.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, a motion to adopt the conference report.
Gentleman has moved that the House do adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 329, and the gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, it's added one provision on timeshares, but this has gone through all the stakeholders that were involved in this have all agreed to this, and I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 329. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Jake Johnson, aye. Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Clemens on the floor. Representative Clemens, wish to vote? Aye. Clemens, aye. Clerk Watt Machine record the vote. 91, having voted in the affirmative, 12 in the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 329 has been adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 110, clerk will read.
Conference report, House Bill 110, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the housing opportunities to prevention of hope program. General Assembly, North Carolina, an act.
Representative Hanning, the gentleman wishes to make a motion on House Bill 110.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, a motion to concur.
Gentleman has moved that the House that the conference report to House Bill 110 be adopted. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
We've gone through both sides with this. Everyone seems to be okay with it. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 110. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Martin, aye. Lofton, aye. Jake Johnson, aye. Brendan Jones, aye. Clerk Watt Machine record the vote. 94, having voted in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. The conference report to House Bill 110 has been adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 118, clerk will read.
Representative Willis, Altman Brody, House Bill 118, a bill to be entitled an act to provide that 6 members of the Buncombe County Board of Education be elected by eligible voters from the district those members represent. General Assembly, North Carolina, an act.
Who's handling this bill? Bill will be temporarily displaced. Members, it may be that these bills will not have to be done as of this date, and may be able to wait until we come back in January. So we'll come back to that. So why don't we go ahead and go back to House Bill 334, which has been already read. Is there any further discussion or debate on that bill? Seeing none, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 334. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Dixon, aye. Dixon, aye. Representative Johnson, aye. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 94, having voted in the affirmative, and 8 in the negative. The conference report to House Bill 334 is adopted. Senate will be so notified. We'll stand at ease momentarily. Message from the Senate, the clerk will read.
220. I'm not sure of the policy, but we need to. Message from the Senate, House Bill 220, Senate Committee Substitute for the Addition, a bill to be entitled an act to limit cities, counties, from prohibiting services' choice of energy service based upon the type of source of energy to be delivered, to modify public records law regarding sensitive public security information, and to make a technical corrections for concurrence in the city committee substitute and unengrossed Senate amendment number one.
Calendar, the bills added for this evening's calendar. Mr. Clerk, members, chair directs House Bill 118, Buncombe County School Board election, and House Bill 400, Asheville City School Board.
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose lay from Buncombe, Representative Fisher?
I wonder if we maybe don't want to vote on the 400, on 400. That's just my question. Are you putting them on the calendar?
No, I was going to take them. They're on the calendar. I was going to remove them and send them to rules.
It's important to me to go ahead and have a vote on House Bill 400 if the chair would indulge. They are not related. The two bills are not related.
All right. Well, let's get rid of it. Okay. So 118, chair's going to direct that go to the rules committee. So ordered. 400. I'll come back to it in a few minutes, and we'll see.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, that was actually a request of Representative Moffitt just to delay it, I think. But you could move your resignation date till sometime next year and get a chance to deal with it then. Just saying, it'd be a reason to come back in January.
I would say respectfully, nice try.
For what purpose do they from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I wish to be recorded as no on House Bill 334, Committee Substitute.
Labor be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 334. Representative Fisher, could the lady approach the dais, please? So as if this year wasn't strange enough, apparently House Bill 400, which is a Buncombe County School Board bill, has been agreed to by all the parties. I don't know what that's a sign of, but maybe good things. Maybe we're in the holiday spirit here. House Bill 400, the clerk will read.
Representatives Fisher, Turner, and Ager, House Bill 400, a bill to be entitled Asheville City School Board Elections, General Assembly, North Carolina.
Lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move that the House concur in the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 400.
The lady has moved that the House concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 400, and the lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill has made a kind of a long and arduous journey through the House and Senate. We voted on it back several months ago. It got over to the Senate, and it got some things added to it that ended up being put into a separate bill, the one that is being delayed. It is now just a bill to change the Asheville City Board of Education from being an appointed board to being an elected board. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 400. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Gillespie, aye. Representative Clampett, wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 103 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House has concurred with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 400, and the bill is ordered and rolled. House Bill 220, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Miller, Stain, and Zucker, House Bill 220, a bill to be entitled to limit cities and counties from prohibiting consumer votes from energy service based upon the type or source of energy to be delivered, to modify the public record law regarding sensitive public security information, and to make a technical correction. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Clerk's also directed to read the amendment.
Senator Newton moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 5, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognized for a motion.
I make a motion that we concur in the amendment and the bill.
The gentleman's moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 220 as well as the amendment thereto. And the gentleman, does the gentleman wish to debate it?
No.
All right. For what purpose, the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak on the motion. The
gentleman has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like Section 1 of this, but Section 2, I expect there will be lots of people like Section 1 on this, but Section 2 has one word that should cause every member of this House to vote against it, and we fixed this on the House side. It went over to the Senate, and it came back to us without the fix in it. And the word is treatment, and it's in the section of this bill that's on the disclosure of how our water systems work. The intention of the public record section here is good. It's to try and make sure that our public records about things like energy and water and sewer facilities are not subject to public records requests where someone who wanted to attack them with terrorism could use a public records request to find out their vulnerabilities and attack them. That's a good intention. But the word treatment of our drinking water means that the treatment of your water would be shielded from public records requests. That means if there's lead pipes in your water treatment plant, the public wouldn't be allowed to know. If there's other chemicals being used in your water treatment that are going to damage your drinking water and your constituents' drinking water, and your water and sewer authority wanted to hide that because they didn't want to get sued over it, but they were literally poisoning your public, like what happened in Flint, Michigan, or other places, the public wouldn't have the right to know. If you take out the word treatment, it still stops bad actors from getting access to any way that they could damage the plant infrastructure itself. But we should at least be able to know, how is our drinking water getting treated and cleaned in order for us to be able to drink pure, clean water? I hope we'll reject this and come back to it at the next session, because we have time. And all we have to do is strike that one word, as was done in the House when we worked on this in committee. Representative Riddell isn't here today, but he worked with me to fix that in good faith. It didn't leave the House chamber that way. It came back to us worse off. I hope we'll reject this.
What purpose, lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise.
To debate the motion.
Lady has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ditto to what Representative Meyer said, and a really powerful, articulate argument about why this bill is problematic. But I'll just remind folks that we voted on this bill several months ago, House Bill 220, when it left the House. It still limits local government's choice of energy service. And this is something that apparently this is a model that has been circulated by ALEC in at least 14 states. It has to do with limiting natural gas hookups and new construction.
This chamber, a month or two ago, voted for our House Bill 951 and talked about limiting our carbon emissions in the state. And this is the kind of bill that's going to limit our ability to meet those goals that we just passed in this chamber. I would urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Union? Representative Arkprise.
To address some of the concerns.
Gentleman has floor to debate the bill.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say that share that drinking waters and treatment facilities and so forth like that are given to the public about what's going on there. All the test reports about what the quality is in there, what's protected in here are the systems that can't be attacked by terrorists, not the outcome or the quality or what those systems are. And so that's not accurate to say that. The second thing is the 220 actually preserves energy choice. So if you want gas stoves or a gas water heater or even a dual fuel system, I've got one that's a dual fuel system that is a heat pump, but when the temperatures get down to a certain degree, gas kicks on. What this does is actually preserve consumer choice. This is supported by the entire Chamber of Commerce, the home builders, just every consumer group wants to have the preservation and not the limitation of energy choices for consumers. So don't confuse that. I ask for your vote.
And for what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer rise.
I'd like to debate the motion a second time, please.
Gentleman has the floor.
Representative Arp, I respectfully disagree. You're wrong in your interpretation of what this bill does on page 2, lines 36 through 41. I know this was from another bill that got pasted into this bill by the Senate, and they took the original language rather than the language we amended in the Regulatory Reform Committee. We had this reviewed by staff attorneys here at the General Assembly, external attorneys, and the agreement is, because of the way this is worded, where it says engineering vulnerability or detailed design information about proposed or existing infrastructure, whether physical or virtual, for any of the following, and then it says the treatment, transmission, and distribution of water. It couldn't be any more clear that it protects the engineering systems for the treatment of water. And when I asked a concrete question of would this allow a water or sewer authority to stop the public disclosure of the existence of lead pipes in their infrastructure, the answer was yes. And so Representative Riddell, and I hate to drag him into this when he's not here, but he agreed to take it out so that we wouldn't be protecting dangerous drinking water. If you took out the word treatment and you just leave the words transmission and distribution, that's what you want to protect. You want to protect the maps that show where the pipes are so that nobody can hit them with an attack. But you don't want to protect us knowing what process is being used to treat our water.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise.
To ask, I guess it's Representative Arp a question, if I may.
Representative Hart, gentlemen, yield?
Yes.
He yields.
Thank you. I'm curious, and maybe this is my last chance to ask freshman questions. But when it came back, listen to Greg real carefully, when it came back from over there, from the Senate, and came back here, did it go back through one of our committees or just come to the floor?
It's here now because this is coming back here from the Senate.
But has it another question. Has it been through our committee structure again over here in the House side?
That's not normally the process. It's just on the concurrence. But to the question, I think is that what we're talking about though is that the test results from the drinking water in no way prohibited from the public. And none of that was changed. Everyone knows the test results from their public drinking water. The systems and so forth are under a level of security for obvious reasons.
but the outcome, actually what comes out of the plant and the test results and how that's obtained, whether they meet standard qualities and all of that, is not hidden from the public. It is actually there, you know, available there. And so there's no hiding of the public drinking water quality. It's not in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Ask Representative Arp a question.
Representative Arp, gentleman yield.
Okay.
He yields.
Thank you. I'm wondering about the urgency of this bill. Is it such that we could not say no to this with the concern that's been expressed and come back and fix it next year? Or could we possibly do that?
I think this is a time-sensitive bill to move forward today, and I'd ask for your vote.
Follow-up.
Gentleman yield?
Yes.
Yields.
Why would that be the case?
Because it deals with an amendment. There are other things in this bill. One of them is a technical correction to somebody else's bill in here, and also an amendment that was added, which is what Senator Newton's bill is about the water metering, with all the money that's going out for the ARPA funds and all the SCIF money, the construction. This would be a part of that.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, may I speak on the bill? The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, sir. I understand Representative Arp's concern, and there's, you know, I like the idea that the bill is saying the government can't tell me which system, because I have a hybrid system for heating in my house too, with heat pump and gas kick in. And, you know, I don't want anybody to tell me I can't do that. So I appreciate that part of the bill, but I'm concerned about Representative Myers' concern about the hiding what's going on from the people too. And so I would suggest, I'm sorry if it's so urgent, but I would suggest that we vote no on this and come back and fix that concern before we pass it. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 220, as well as Senate Amendment 1 thereto. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clampett and Kidwell wish to vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 56, having voted in the affirmative, 47 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Amendment 1 as well as the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 220, and the Senate will be so notified. Bill is additionally ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, we have concluded our business. So let me give you, again, let me run through the chair received several questions about what we are, what's happening between now and, ultimately I'd say January 30th. And the plan at this point is that we will remain in skeletal session until December 10th. December 10th, there are no planned votes. If something changes prior to that, members will be afforded several days' notice. Again, that would be of us having to respond to something that would be time sensitive in some manner. But that's the only reason that we would have to be back on December 10th. So when we come back on December 10th, we would adjourn that day. Again, members, we'd only need to, you know, two or three members present for that.
and then we would adjourn to come back on December the 30th. December the 30th would be a date that, again, the chair would not anticipate any business being done on that date. The earliest date the chair believes that we would take up business would be January 3rd. But again, I want to stress, we know there's litigation about our redistricting maps that are out there. There's other matters out there that have been discussed. If we need to come back and deal with any of those items in between, I can assure both sides, I see Representative Reeves, Representative Bell, that the two leaders of the caucuses will be afforded ample notice of when that is, of if that is happening. And so we would do that. But again, the chair does not intend for us to be back in any sort of meaningful way back and until January 3rd. So again, if something changes, we will let folks know. So just want to wish each of you and your families, hopefully we won't see each other before Christmas, a wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and let's just go ahead and roll Happy New Year into there while we're at it too. And so the intent to be that we would be back again on January 3rd. Again, there will be skeletal sessions between now and December 10th, no votes anticipated, and then come back on December the 30th, again with no votes until January 5th, with again, we need to do something before then. It would be in response to something. We'll notify folks. So with that, notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, rise?
Be recorded as voting aye on Bill 220.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Members would ask, please try to stay quiet. What? Could you repeat that? You want to be recorded as aye on which bill, sir?
220.
On 220, okay. For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to give a shout out to the Southwest Randolph Girls Senior Varsity Volleyball Team, Representative Goodwin. The Southwest Randolph Senior Girls Volleyball Team had a good win over the Camden County Girls Team in the state 2A volleyball championship on November the 6th by a score of 3-1. For the year, they had a record of 28-5, and they were 12-0 in the conference. Shout out for the Southwest Randolph girls volleyball team.
Thank you. Members, the chair would also remind the body that we are going to be adjourning in memory of Representative Humphrey's mother, so we'd ask the body to maintain decorum until that time and in honor of that. For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Torbett, of course, has already given you the news that General Counsel for the Rules Committee, Dylan Real, is going to be moving on to the private sector, but I feel the need to stand up as well and speak a little bit about Dylan, because he has been so important to me since I became Rules Chair. I'm a big believer that God puts people where he wants them to be and around the people he wants them to be with. And when I became Rules Chair, this job doesn't come with an instruction manual at all, and it certainly can be a daunting task having to deal with 119 other members and every now and then talking to somebody from the Senate when I get bored. But Dylan has been truly helpful in all of that, and he's made me look very good as the Rules Chair, and I hate to see him go, but he's still going to be around this building quite a bit. So if you get a few minutes, maybe speak to him when he comes to see you on different bills. Dylan, thanks so much for all the hard work you've done.
What purpose does the lady from Lake, Representative Ball, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentlemen's recognized. Ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At one time you said January 3rd we would be back, and the other time you said January 5th. Can we get clarification on?
If I said January 3rd.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker. Members, we have a life event that occurred for one of our members over the weekend, and his seatmate is not here to share that information. So help me congratulate Representative Clampett on his wedding this weekend.
Congratulations, Representative Clampett. What purpose does the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Yes, there will be a joint legislative commission on governmental operations, subcommittee on use and distribution of federal COVID funding will be on Wednesday, December the 1st, in the auditorium from 9 to 12. And on Thursday, December the 2nd, we will have from 9 to 12 also in the auditorium, but we will also have representatives from the Division of Employment Security Commission. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Sir, thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Swain, Representative Clampett, rise?
Moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
I'd like to thank Representative Stevens for that kind and very obvious recognition for the nuptials this past weekend. Just by the way, I'm spending my honeymoon down here, and she's back at work.
For what? Sounds like you're off to a great start there. For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Brief point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Yesterday, a proud announcement, McCaddenville Dolphins, 7-year-old, all dressed up football team won the state championship in North Carolina. And they are off to where else but Disney World this weekend to compete again for the national championship, which they won last year as well. And they also just happen to have my 7-year-old grandson on the team. But anyway, congratulations to McCaddenville Dolphins.
Hang on. What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quickrise?
To ask Representative Bowles a question.
Representative Bowles, the gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, sir. You gave the schedule for this week for that subcommittee. Is there any schedule for next week that you are aware of?
Correct. Yes, sir. I think 15th and 16th there will be a subcommittee also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, November 30th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1, and in memory of Alice Humphrey Cunningham, mother of Representative Humphrey.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Humphrey, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, November 30th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and in memory of Alice Humphrey Cunningham, mother of Representative Humphrey. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate will adopt the report of the conferees for House Bill 110, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to housing opportunities to prevention of eviction program. When appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland.
Thank you.
House Bill 220 would be ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor by special message.
Yeah.
Strike that. That would be House Bill 110 is ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor by special message.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopt the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 329. Conference Committee substitute the bill to be entitled an act to modify architect, licensure, and seal, engineer seal, and building permit exemption criteria for certain construction projects to delay the applicability of the revision of the North Carolina Timeshare Act to timeshare transfer services to transfer service providers. When appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sir Ron.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur with Senate Bill 219. House Committee substitute fourth edition, the bill to be entitled an act to revise the education requirements for licensures of a professional and surveyor and to make various technical changes to clarify the design bill and design bill bridging statutes to prohibit waivers of future claims to process payments for construction contracts and to require attorney's fees for certain lien claims. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopt the report for the conferees for House Bill 334. Conference Committee substitute a bill to the entitlement act to make technical clarifying and other modifications to the current operations Appropriations Act of 2021 and order legislation affecting the state budget. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sir Holland, Principal Clerk.
House Bill 334 will be ordered and rolled and sent to the governor by special message.